All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for everybody here. Thank you for your grace, for eternal life in our Savior, and just for the opportunity you've given us to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First off, I have a confession to make. I have no idea how this is going to go, I have to tell you. Bob Wilkin is my boss, and he's a hard man to work for. What happened was, I'll just be honest with you. I'm not going to try to hide anything from you. He said, let's have a breakout session for people new to Free Grace. And I said, I can do that. I'll sign up for that, because I thought, okay, I can do that. And Jerry Patillo, who knows Jerry? A lot of you all know Jerry. He does this. And I said, this is so easy. All I got to do is email Jerry and say, Jerry, send me your slides, and I'll just do it from there. And so we're all set. And then probably, what, about a week ago, Bob calls me and goes, oh, I want you to expand it. I want you to include the controversies going on in the GES and Free Grace Movement. I said, and it reminded me of when that joke, when I was in college, it would be like you go in to take a final and they say, define the universe and give five examples. You know, that's the way I felt. Like, do this for new guys, but then do it for people who know all the issues and stuff. So I said, what's that going to look like? I don't know. So, we're going to try to do both. And, I'm hoping that you all have a lot of questions. So make this easy on me. Okay. So if you're new to the Free Grace Movement, you know, we can do that. And then, if you're, have questions about the controversies that are going on in the broader Free Grace movement, do that. I know that Mike did one already, and so he's already stole a lot of what I'm going to talk about. And I'm glad you're here, Mike, because then I'm just going to say, just ask Mike. And but I really do. I saw this as kind of a thing where it's Q&A, a lot of Q&A. So that's what I hope anyway. And if you're new to the Free Grace Movement, if this is your first time here, your questions will be different than for people who are asking, well, what's going on with this? So we'll see how this goes. I have no idea what to expect, okay? So and then if it doesn't go well, I'll blame Bob. I'll say, Bob, you gave me too hard of an assignment. So that's what we're going to do. All right. So what is going on with the Free Grace Movement? Again, I hope you guys have lots and lots of questions, because Mike's here. He can answer some of them. I'll try to answer what I have. Women's ministry, my daughter Catherine, there's a little slide on here, so I'm going to put it over to her for a little while. So if you have any questions, the ladies, about her. So this is a free for all. Okay. So that's what we're looking at. So have lots and lots and lots of questions. Okay, distinctives. When we look at the, and obviously this part is maybe for people who are, this is the first time here, or they're new to the Free Grace Movement. What are some of the distinctives of it? Instead of saying salvation from hell, because in the New Testament, what we call hell is the lake of fire, is that salvation from the lake of fire is completely free. And I write on here, and we really mean it, because a lot of times you will hear people say, oh, salvation is absolutely free, but there's always that but you have to continue in good works, but you have to persevere till the end. So one of the distinctives of Free Grace theology is, no, we really mean it. And we say, for example, and this bothers a lot of people, even if you deny the faith later, even if you deny the faith, once you receive eternal life, you have it and you can never lose it. And so that's what I mean by we really mean it. Because I cannot tell you through the years how many people I've talked to and said, oh, yeah, I'm Free Grace. I believe once saved, always saved. But then they go, but if you deny the faith, then you can lose it. And they'll say stuff like, well, certainly if you can receive eternal life, you can give it back. I mean, they'll say that. I know you all, for those of you who've been around, you know what I'm talking about. But in the free grace movement, no, we mean what we say. And obviously related to that is the eternal security of the believer. Again, Bob Wilkett, I think, is, you know, he's famous for saying it. Even if you want to give eternal life back, you can't. Too bad, you're stuck with it. You know, or however he says it. And that's what we mean. And it doesn't take long to talk to people, who will chafe at these kind of statements. And those, so these are distinctives. Obviously, another distinctive that you see in the free grace movement is that this idea of rewards. And obviously, in this conference, we've seen it over and over and over and over again. There are going to be differences in the kingdom of God. And that's something else that chafes people. They think that is wrong. They think it'll result in jealousy. In my own experience, I remember the first time I heard about the judgment seat of Christ. I was 23, and I'd been in churches nominally for years, and I'd never heard that before. And obviously the good works that we do as a believer play a significant role in our rewards. It has nothing to do with eternal life. It has nothing to do with where we're going to spend eternity, but it does have a lot to do with how, and that was one of our plenary sessions, how we're going to spend that eternity, our rewards. And I think most of you, you can tell me if you disagree with this, I think most of the people that we come in contact with in Christendom at large, in our churches, have little to no concept of this. Their view of the kingdom of God, however they word that, is we're all going to be equal. It's like a communistic state, a perfect communistic state where everyone gets the same thing. And so this is a big distinctive of free grace theology. Now, obviously, others will talk about rewards some, but not like we do. I'll tell you a story. When I was at Dallas Seminary, one of the most famous professors there is, I don't know if I can say this or not, being recorded, but Darrell Bach. I had him for class, and he mentioned rewards. And he said in class, this is just an example, he says, there are some indications in the New Testament that there will be rewards in the kingdom of God, but it's not really that big a deal. And maybe they'll just be for the millennial kingdom or something like that. Talk to a free grace guy. It's like, I remember Zane Hodges saying, rewards are on every page of the New Testament. Now, that may be a little bit of a hyperbole, but not much. When you look at the New Testament through free grace lenses, you see rewards everywhere. I mean, it's not just 1 Corinthians 3:10-15, and we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We literally see it in the parables. We see rewards everywhere, and so that sets us apart. And related to all this is we must keep discipleship and eternal salvation separate. You can be a believer, and this also chafes people. You can be a believer and not a disciple. And sometimes free grace people they goad us, you know. They point out you can be a disciple but not a believer. You know, for example, in John 6, many of the disciples quit following him. Some of those were not believers. A disciple is a student. A disciple is someone who wants to follow Christ, learn more about Christ. And take, for example, a devout Mormon. It is proper to call a devout Mormon who has never believed the gospel of grace a disciple of Christ. They study his words. They study his teachings. But they're not a believer. And so these are some of the distinctions that we make. Obviously, people like lordship, salvation people will say, no, every single believer is a disciple. And we disagree with that. We say there's lots of believers who are going to be in the kingdom, but who are not disciples, who are not whatever phrase you want to use, taking up their cross and following Christ. Walking according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. So these are some of the distinctives that we see. And each one of these, you can see how most in Christendom will disagree with this to one degree or another. So that's why it's called the distinctives. Okay? And, in my opinion, only free grace people consistently interpret the Bible in these areas. You know, for example, the idea, just as an example from this conference, the idea of rewards and the idea of discipleship. Lucas's plenary session on Luke 19 with Amina's and my presentation on the talents in Matthew 25. We look at that third guy, the third guy who's cast in the outer darkness and doesn't get anything. We look at him as a believer. But if you go get a commentary or talk to a preacher in most churches and stuff, they'll say, oh, no, he busted hell wide open. You know, that guy isn't going to be in hell. And so you can see the vast differences of how we view the Scriptures and the lens from which we come to the Scriptures in these areas. And this last bullet, I mean exactly what it says. If we're going to be consistent in interpreting these passages, that's got to be what it says. Because, for example, in the Luke passages, not only do you have the three servants, but you got the enemies. Well, if the third servant is a non-believer, then who are these enemies? You know, and so you got that. And we didn't talk about it in this conference, but like, for example, the four soils, you know, are the four soils. You've got the birds come up and eat the first soil, and there's no life. And then you got the rocky soil, you got the thorny soil, and you got the good soil. Free grace people say those last three are all believers. The thorny, you can be a thorny soil believer, you can be a rocky soil believer. But most people, when they come to those passages, say, no, the rocky and thorny soil are unbelievers. But then you say, well, there was life. And in Luke 8, it says, they believed. And they'll say, well, they didn't really believe. Or they believed with their head, not their heart. They missed heaven by 18 inches. You know, they got all these cutesy sayings that make absolutely no sense. And they're not consistent in interpreting the Bible. Okay? So these are some of the distinctives. And before we go on, any questions on that? We don't have to wait till the end. Like I said, we're going to be loosey-goosey here. Yes, Bob.
You know, we do a good job of working double time to get our verbiage correct, to be precise, to be clear. But it's been a little bit of a nudge to me for several years when I see distinctive four, and theologically I agree, but exegetically there's that problem of Hebrews 5:9. So it says, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to those who believe, no, to those who obey him. Somebody's going to throw this in our face one of these days and say, what's up? And I just struggle with us using the word eternal salvation as a contrast to the discipleship. I mean, the believer's discipleship. I don't know if you could give that some thought and talk among the other brothers, or if you feel like no one's going to remember this verse.
Yes, Hebrews 5:9 is a discipleship verse. He's absolutely right. In the book of Hebrews, someone ought to do a commentary on the book of Hebrews, right? In the book of Hebrews, the word salvation, and I know Bob already knows this, is not salvation from the lake of fire. It's and so, see, this is another thing. This is why I hate free grace people, every one of them. They get you, you gotta watch the words. Bob's absolutely right. And that's one of the things that I'm still learning about it. We need to be careful of the words we use, Matter of fact, wasn't John Niemela? See, he got me mad again in his presentation. He goes, what did he say? How did he say it? What did he say about that when he worded it differently? Oh, all you have to do is believe. Were we all that? Like, man, John, yeah, now there's another thing. I got to be careful every time I open my mouth and say that. But yeah, we do, particularly when we talk about Hebrews 5:9, we have to then explain, well, what do we mean by these words? And yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, like even the phrase, hell, you know, when we use the word hell, that's really not what we mean, you know, because in the Bible, the word hell is Sheol or Gehenna, or what does that mean? And so, yeah, you're right. And, yeah, being around Zane Hodges and Bob Wilkin and John Niemela and all these guys, it's like, man, I use the wrong words all the time. So, yeah.
Well,
no.
No.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So that's a good point. Bob's making a good point. We need to be careful, or at least define our terms when we talk to folks. Yeah.
Theologically, I agree.
Sure. Mm. Sure.
You're talking about salvation to eternal life. And the Bible uses salvation both ways.
Yes.
So we should be free to use it both ways in discipleship. And,
sure.
I don't have any problem with what you're saying, because this is in the midst of a whole talk that you're giving. And you
sure.
You know the whole context. So sure. I get the point that at the same time, we also need to say we need to be gracious to one another.
That's right. Yes. I'm probably going to still say the only thing you need to do is believe. Like, and if John be over there, he said, come here, Ken, I got to talk to you or something like that. Yeah. We're going to. Yeah, we're going to. We're getting there. But what I'm hoping is that, yeah, we don't have to go that far. That's what I'm hoping. See, he already knows what I'm doing here. Yes. All right. Again, Bob told me to begin with, this is for people, maybe this is your first time. We may have a whole room of people say, I've been here 20 years, you know, so why are we discussing this? So I told you, Bob's a jerk, man. He told me to do this. What do you want me to do? Don't tell him I said that, Mike. Okay. So, and the other thing Bob told me to do is, again, this may be mainly for newbies, but how do we get this message out? What does GES do? What are some of the things we do to get these distinctives out? And if you've been around, you're going to know the things that I'm going to put up here. But we're small, but we carry a big stick. This website, I just think it's the greatest thing in the world. So much free stuff. When Catherine and I go overseas, for example, we give this to the students that we have, and they're just so appreciative of this. You know, imagine living in Zambia or someplace like that, and you have no free grace material, and you can get on here and all this stuff. Well, most of this stuff is free, and that includes the blogs. For those of you who don't know, we translate the blogs into various languages, Spanish and Russian and Italian, and I don't even know all of them. But so all of this stuff is on there, and so we do that here at GES. We, y'all, the magazine. Magazine's a great thing. We have about 10,000 that we send out every 2 months. And in my opinion, this probably reaches more people than anything, maybe. You know, maybe I'm wrong. But and obviously we have a number of different people who write for the magazine. I got to check the time and all that. Hopefully get it before I get to the controversies. We'll run out of time. And the magazine goes out, and it's great. And so if, what's that? And it's absolutely free. That's right. And if you know people that aren't getting it, just tell them, do this. I just love the magazine. Other things? We have a podcast. Most of you all have probably heard Bob and Sean do that. They're really good at that. I did it once a couple years ago, and It was scary because I'll tell you a little story on that. They said, okay, we're going to do 15 podcasts, and it's going to be on this. And so I got together and I studied and made me a little outline of it and stuff. Okay, this is what we'll talk about. This is what we'll talk about. No. I sat down and Sean was like, well, what do you think of this? And I was like, boom. And then it just went on. And then he said, let's do 15 more. So it was completely, but they're really good at it. And they got that short one that they do. And then Kath and I have just started one. We're starting one on the book of Romans, and it's longer. Ours is going to be about 35 minutes, 40 minutes. We're using as a base Zane's commentary, but we will go off a little bit on it. So we got these podcasts. No, the long one is Lucas has done the introduction with the music.
We're waiting to get the website. We've got them. We're recording them, and we're pretty much ready to go. But the website needs to be added a section for us to actually put it onto the website. Hopefully within the next few weeks.
Yeah. What's that? Grace Through the Bible. Grace Through the Bible is ours, and we're just going to see how that goes. And so. Yeah, and we're not as funny as Sean and Bob and all that. So we're learning as we go along. We'll see how it does.
So be gracious to us.
Okay, obviously, regional conferences, national conference once a year. I didn't even notice that. There's us down there. Yeah, there was us down there with Bob and Sean. And so we do those. We have a regional coming up in Georgia, and we'll go from there. And just when we do these conferences, and obviously this one, and obviously lots of books. In my opinion, there's nothing like the books that GES has for sale. And everyone, obviously, people will say, "Well, you're biased," and obviously I am. But in my own life, Zane Hodges's book just had such a profound effect upon me. I mean, just so profound. And like, and here's a couple of them here. The Gospel Under Siege and the Free Grace Primer has three of Zane's books. And matter of fact, we just got back from Zambia. We had about 50 students. And GES, through donations, gave each student a Free Grace Primer for them. And then this 10 Most Misunderstood Words, what a great book. All those books are just so good. And anyway, that's another thing we do here at GES. And then there's us. Here's some of our students in Zambia. Just as a short little comment upon it, we've been going there now for 5 years. And this is one of the classes we have. This is a Bible college there. And this just gives you an idea of what we encounter. When we first went there, the idea of eternal security was just it was unacceptable to them. And but now, this last year, it's like, well, of course, eternal security. and we donate through GES, and they have a library there, and we donate all these books, and they've got most of GES's books there. And when we were in chapel this year, the guy was talking, and he goes, "You need to have theology," and he actually met one of the students, Zane Hodges, you know, so he had been reading Zane Hodges' stuff, and a lot of these students keep up with us through email, mainly through Catherine, because she's a lot better at that than I am. And so those are some of the things we do. These are some of the countries that we go to, either to teach or to do pastors' conferences. By the way, at Kenya there, through Bob Bryant's church, there's a couple from Kenya that are strong Free Grace. Oh, my goodness. And Jimmy and Catherine at Acres of Mercy. And we're going there in August to do pastors' conferences in Nairobi and stuff. And when you walk into their school, they have a library. It's like walking into the GES office. That's all they have. And it's great. It's great. And I'm just telling you these things just to show you that, again, yeah, we're a small ministry, but I think we're, with all of us as a team are, I just think we're doing great things. And so, anyway, we also have a pastor's conference coming up in Costa Rica in,
October.
I had to think, yeah, October. And Bernie's going, and, I'm going, and maybe, Sean. He always gets in on the real cool trips. Have you ever noticed that? Costa Rica. I've only kidded about that. So these are some of the things we do. There's Acres of Mercy right there. And, there's Jimmy and Catherine and their three kids. That's a school, by the way, of, kindergarten through eighth grade. And they're allowed to teach religion. And so they teach all the kids that come to that school Free Grace Theology. And, it's just wonderful. And there's Catherine and me at our last trip there. These are great people. And they, their English is perfect. I mean, this is a place you don't need, translators or anything. And even the people, the pastors we teach, they understand, English very well. And, this is Catherine teaching a class there in Zambia. She teaches, in this case, the doctrine of salvation. And I will tell you, those guys, you talk about asking questions. These people, I mean, they're crazy. Yeah, they just ask questions all the time. What about Matthew 7? What about James 2? I mean, it's boom, 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 boom. It's a lot of fun. And we have some Zoom classes that we've started mainly after COVID started. And we have folks in Italy and Spain and what's those islands off of with the little parrot? And, anyway, people from all over. We do two Zoom classes on, end times and the Book of Romans. One on Tuesday and one on Saturday.
If you want to join.
Yeah, that's right. So, anyway. Free Grace Women Ministry. Give a little blurb. I'm hurrying. I really am.
Yeah. If you are a woman and you're interested, there is Free Grace Women on Facebook. Try and find us. We've got blogs and we've got some Zoom classes as well that we're trying to do. And just reach out. There's some really great ladies. And we're looking for writers, too. I think that's another thing just to mention, even for the magazine and the journal, like, if you have material, Free Grace material, we want it. So send it in to us. We'd love to publish it.
And the journal, obviously I'm biased because I'm the editor of the journal, but it's the best journal in the world. We have about 200 subscriptions, but online people get them for free. So from what I understand, journals in general are losing subscriptions because now you can get them online and everything like that. But, Yeah, we're getting there. Okay, so do it now.
So, last night your son-in-law was talking about being a technology guy. Mm-hmm. And he gets all these, like, can you come plug in my toaster?
Yeah.
Right? So, do you have anything on the website or anything that would say, like, this is what we're not in ministry? So, for example, I'm having a problem with my spouse and I need to get these verses or whatever. Do you have anything that says, this is what we are, go here and do whatever?
Yeah, no, for those of you who don't know, we get questions. Bob and Sean, I think, take the majority of them. And so I don't see a lot of them, but I'm sure there's lots of questions like that because I get some. Don't really know how to respond to that because it's not like my little lane, you know, and so we get them. But what we try to do is we try to answer them the best we can, but if they've got an obvious problem, we tell them to go, you know, somewhere else if they need some kind of help like that. And, I think Sean and Bob don't send those kind of questions to me. I think they do that. So how they handle that, I'm not sure, but I do know that they do get questions. Like if someone's suicidal, you know, they'll send them somewhere else. Yeah. I just want to say this about the journal. When you read other journals, and how can I talk about this without being biased? But when you read other journals, they get very, very scholarly, and sometimes they talk about issues that are, you know, Psalm 14:6, is this an Akkadian preterist subjunctive verb being used in verse 8? Something like that, you know. Whereas in our journal, we concentrate on free grace issues. And so I just think it's, I think the articles we get are really, really good. So anyway. Okay, here we are. Any questions before, see how much time I got now? Okay. Yeah, we got 10 minutes, but I can go over because Bob's talking next, right? And so I don't care. Any questions on any of that? I want to give the new people, if you have any questions on any of that, really, if you will, plug the website, plug the magazine, put all that stuff out because I really think it makes a difference. So, all right. Here's the controversies. There is a, when you talk about the free grace movement, it is a very broad, a much broader than what we think of as Grace Evangelical Society. And about 14 years ago, there was some movements around to become more inclusive, or that may not even be the right word. Mike, stop me and correct me any time you want. To reach out to more people. And there was some of this going on, and that caused a breakup in the free grace movement and different camps. And some of the issues that arose out of this is, what is the definition of faith? What does it mean to believe? And one of the controversies is that Grace Evangelical Society says that faith is being convinced that something is true. Jesus says, I give you eternal life and you can't lose it. Are you convinced that is true? That's what faith means. But some in the larger free grace movement disagrees with that, that there are different components to faith. And if you've taken seminary classes or Bible college classes or even just read systematic theology, you'll very commonly hear that no, faith is more than being convinced that something is true. There's an intellect, emotion, and will aspect to it. And in the larger free grace movement, there are those who say that. Yes, we need to comprehend the claims of Christ. But if we believe it, there's going to be an emotional aspect to it. And some of them will say it even involves a commitment to Christ in some way. That's where the will comes into play. So for guys like me, when I first went to seminary many, 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 many years ago, this is the kind of thing that I was taught, that real faith involves these kind of things. It's, and again, head faith, heart faith, you know, you don't want to miss heaven by 18 inches. And so there's an emotional aspect to it. And if you can see how, particularly like with lordship salvation, that last part, if I'm not willing to commit myself to Christ, then I really haven't believed. Okay. And when you talk about the free grace movement in a broader sense, you will meet people to various degrees who say that GES's definition of faith is too simplistic. Okay, so that's one of the controversies. Okay, and some will say faith also involves some kind of personal encounter with Christ and some element of repentance. And we're about to see that may just be, and just throw out to the group, can I believe in Jesus Christ without turning from my sins? GES would say yes. But some in the broader free grace movement says there has to be, notice this, and this is a direct quote, some element of repentance. And what that means is, maybe you have to at least be willing to turn from your sin. You don't have to turn from your sin, but you have to be willing to do it. So if I'm sleeping with my girlfriend and I become a believer, I can still live with her and do it, but I have to feel bad about it and at least be, maybe I need to stop doing this or something. Yeah. Now, I mean, I don't want to, it becomes very difficult to, and I think they don't define it very well, but these are, in other words, what they're trying to say is that faith involves these other things of emotion and commitment. Now, and they will say, now listen, not like MacArthur. You know, MacArthur says you've got to make him Lord of your life. You've got to be totally committed to him. Those in this broader free grace movement will say, no, we're not saying that, but you do have to have some kind of commitment to the Lord in some way. Okay. This is a biggie. Is assurance of salvation the essence of saving faith? And what I mean by that is, if you believe in the offer of eternal life by Jesus Christ, does that mean you know you have eternal life? Does that what it means to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life? GES says yes. If you have never known that you have eternal life, then you have never believed the offer, because that's what the offer is. But there are many, and this is maybe the biggest area of controversy in the larger free grace movement. They say, no, you do not have to have assurance of saving faith. They see assurance as being something that you get later. Assurance is something that is a sanctification issue. So you do not have to be assured of your salvation when you believe. And so they will say, for example, someone who grew up in a Arminian church, and that's all they ever believed. They've never believed anything else, that they could lose their salvation, and that's all they've understood ever since they were little. They would say that person has believed the saving message. So that's a big controversy here. And they'll say, for example, GES, and you've heard this in this conference over and over again, what is the gospel? That Jesus offers eternal life to everyone who believes in him for it. They would say, no, you can believe something else about Christ. For example, if you believe that Jesus forgives you of your sins, that is a saving message. And the saving message can include many other things. But normally they'll say the forgiveness of sins. Someone like me would say, well, I don't know what you mean by that. What is the forgiveness of sins? Believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Does that mean your sins are forgiven and you have to keep doing good works? Does that mean your sins are forgiven and you have to be baptized? And those in the broader free grace movement would say, those are issues we don't have to address. We can address those issues later. Assurance would be a sanctification issue. Another big one, maybe I lied. Maybe assurance is not the biggest one. Maybe repentance is. What is repentance? There are some, even within GES, that says repentance. As a matter of fact, we discussed this at dinner last night, that repentance simply means a change of mind. It's the same thing as faith. Of course, I think probably most within GES, and this was certainly Zane Hodges' view, that repentance means to turn from your sins, and it is not needed for eternal salvation or to receive eternal life. See, there you go. See, I'm thinking before I speak. And so, because this is a work, turning from your sins is a work. And so if you define repentance as turning from sin, I'm living with my girlfriend. Do I have to kick her out before I can receive eternal life? GES would say absolutely not. That's a work. And again, in the broader free grace, some people say, well, you got to at least be willing to kick her out. You don't have to, but you got to at least be willing to do that. Okay, I'm willing to, but I really enjoy having her here, so I'm not going to do that. So whatever. And of course, someone like Lordship Salvation people would say, if you don't kick her out, then you really don't believe. So those are the differences. Okay. Okay. Now, within the broader free grace movement, some define repentance as I feel guilty about my sin, and I need forgiveness. And if you're not willing to at least recognize that you need forgiveness, then you really haven't believed. And so that's how they're defining repentance here. It would include some kind of desire for a moral change. You don't have to do it, but you at least have to, I wish I was holier, or something like that. And if we define repentance that way, those in the broader free grace movement, they would say repentance is necessary. In other words, you must feel some kind of sorrow for your sin. You must recognize that you are a sinner. GES would say no. You know, it may happen 95% of the time that that's what happens, but that is not necessary. What is necessary is to believe the offer of eternal life by faith alone in Christ. So you can see some of the controversies here. We agree that all these things are good things, but we don't have to believe them in order to receive. Oh, some of the other things. I don't even want to talk about this one. Deity of Christ, obviously. There's a book just recently in the broader free grace movement that says if you do not believe in the deity of Christ, then you are not saved. I would just say on that, how much of the deity of Christ do you have to understand? In one of our Zoom classes recently, we had 15 students, and I asked the students, I said, I'm just curious, when the book came out, I said, how many of you, when you became believers, understood the deity of Christ? And 14 of them said, I didn't understand the deity of Christ. One said, I understood the deity of Christ when I became a believer. So what that means is 14 of the 15 did not understand. The other one's a liar because he didn't understand either. But this, you'll hear this. You'll hear this a lot about the deity of Christ. What we say is that, yes, GES says, yes, obviously, Jesus is deity. Obviously, he's the second person of the Trinity. If he were not deity, he could not give us eternal life. That's not the issue. We all agree with that. The issue is, do you have to understand that in order to receive eternal life? And we argue that no. Death of Christ on the cross. The cross is gospel. Every time I've ever heard someone preach, give the gospel at GES, they always include the death of Christ. But again, the issue is, do you have to understand this? And of course, this goes back to Zane Hodges' famous Man on the Island, for those of you who've been around long enough. Can you read John chapter 3 and John chapter 4, the woman at the well and Nicodemus, and believe every single word in those chapters and still not be saved, if you believe all of that? GES would say, no, if you believe John 3 and John 4, but there's no mention of the cross in those two chapters. So if you're an unbeliever and you're reading that and you believe Jesus gives you eternal life, are you saved? Others would say, no, you've got to preach the cross on that. They've got to understand it. Yes. Yeah, what did I say?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. GES would say, yes. Yeah. See, I'm glad she's here. Yeah, GES would say that you could read the account of Nicodemus or the woman at the well and be saved from those chapters. Those in the broader free grace movement would say, no, that's not enough. You have to add about the cross, that he was buried, that he was resurrected, and all those other things. And again, GES people, we preach this, but the death and resurrection is why Jesus can give us eternal life. But those in the broader free grace movement say, no, we have to make sure that the people understand that and they believe in that as well. He died for your sins. That's another one. He was buried in the ground, the groundless gospel. Let's get called that. You got to also say he was buried. That's based upon 1 Corinthians 15. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose. So if you don't mention that he was buried and the person don't get it, then they haven't believed the gospel. GES would say, no, you don't have to know that, you know. What if he's an Indian and he thought Jesus was cremated on one of those pillar things and stuff? I don't know. So anyway, rose from the dead. Controversies. GES says there's only one saving message, and assurance is the essence of it. It's the promise of Christ. What he has promised us is eternal life. But some in the free grace movement say there are other things. There are other gospels. In the broader free grace movement, they say lordship salvation gospel is a saving one. GES says, no, it's not, because you're adding works to it, as are the Arminian Gospels, the Church of Christ. By the way, Catherine and I went to a conference of the broader free grace movement, and this was a big issue. Is the gospel that the Catholic Church preaches, is that a saving one, yes or no? For example, you grow up in the Catholic Church and you're told, okay, if you want to go to heaven, you have to be baptized in the church, you got to go to confession, you got to go through the sacraments, you'll spend 10 years in purgatory. If that is what you believe, is that a saving message? In the larger free grace movement, and this is what we found out when we were there, there are those who are saying, yes, that is a saving message. Because they believe that Christ was God. They believe that he died on the cross. They believe that he rose from the dead. They believe that he forgives your sins, even if you have to work at it. So that gives you a glimpse of some of the controversies that we're dealing with. Okay, there. Any questions? Any questions on any of that? And I'm so glad Mike's here so I could share some of this. Yes?
Would you agree that in presenting the gospel,
mm-hmm.
the gospel message is all the good news about Jesus Christ, the deity of Christ? Don't we do that? But then you say we believe Christ for everlasting life.
Yeah, the word gospel means good news. There's much good news in the New Testament. And when we preach the gospel, GES folks, we include all those things. But the issue is, what is the saving message? What is the kernel? That's what separates and what is causing all these controversies. For example, a 10-year-old who doesn't understand the hypostatic union. I don't understand the hypostatic union. Can that person have eternal life? GES would say yes, but many in the broader free grace movement would say no. They need to understand that. So, but that's certainly part of the good news that we teach and proclaim. Mm-hmm.
Is part of the difficulty with who else preaches the gospel that even lordship and Catholics from time to time preach the right gospel?
Oh, absolutely.
Because one of the best gospel presentations online that's out there is Paul Washer has one, John 3:16, that is, oh, chef's kiss, beautiful.
I know. Yeah.
He sticks to John 3:16, and it's only John 3:16. Paul Washer has other times where he loads the gospel with so many works that it's like no one can ever be saved based on that. And he does both.
I know. And sometimes on the same page, if you're reading his stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. MacArthur does that. Sometimes you hear MacArthur and you'll say, man, that guy, president of GES. And then 30 seconds later, like, where did that go? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so, by the way, we believe, I hope you all believe, there are saved people in the Catholic Church. Because of that, there are saved people in these Reformed Lordship churches. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
A lot of times the contrast comes between the sermon and the, quote, imitation.
Yes! Catherine and I have a joke. We've heard so many sermons, and we say, we just wish he would stop 5 minutes before the imitation. Have you all experienced that? You're like, man, this is great. This is great. This is free grace. And then they'll say, okay, if you want to get saved, you got to come down here and say the sinner prayer. Give your heart to Jesus. Like, shut up, man. Why'd you just stop? Stop right there.
concerning the controversies, how did you have opportunity to speak at one of these other meetings?
I wasn't given the opportunity. No. Yeah, Lucas was. I was not, no. They like Lucas better than me. No, I don't. They love young people. And Lucas is a lot cooler than me, you know. Yeah. No, I was not, no. Yeah. Yeah, and notice younger. Younger guys, yeah, younger guys. I guess they don't like the older guys, yeah. So, and maybe it's because when you get, the older you get, the more you don't care. Maybe that's what it is, so. I went over, so hey, thank you all. I appreciate it.